Welcome, welcome, welcome on board the random ship for this, our 83rd voyage. I am the captain on this weekly journey, Holt, and with me as always is my first mate and my brother, Alan.
Kamusta?
So for those of you who don't know, what we do here is we take 25 to 30 minutes every single week, and we wander the waters of the weird. Yes, the oceans of the obscure, the rivers of the random.
And if you make it to the end of the episode, you'll be rewarded with your weekly ship fact.
Was it Spanish this week again, Alan?
No, that was Filipino.
Well, that was surprising, because I thought it was definitely Spanish.
And you were definitely wrong.
It's just because you said it with such a sexual tone.
Ooh, kamusta.
I had another I'm old moment today, Alan.
Oh, it's because you realized you're old?
Yeah, 6 o'clock this morning.
Oh, that's too early for anything to be happening.
It felt like someone stabbed me in my left calf. I was dead asleep, and out of the blue, I woke up going, oh! My wife rolled over, patted me on the head, and went back to sleep. So
she's accustomed to it.
It's never happened before. Like, I've had it where, like, my muscles seize up sometimes or whatever. This was like, if I rub the spot now, it is still tender. For, like, 5 hours this morning, I had to limp around the house like my leg was broken. Like, because I couldn't stretch my leg out fully. My leg always had to be bent or else I was in excruciating pain. And I got that from sleeping.
Sounds like you need more banana.
I eat bananas every day. Literally every day.
Well, that's disgusting, but how sounds like you need more.
How much banana could one man have?
It's a good question. I don't eat any banana because I hate banana. The texture's terrible.
So on top of feeling very old this morning, Alan, I do, for the first time in a couple weeks, have a beef of the week.
Oh, who with?
Non-profit organizations, I guess?
Oh, they're the worst. So much that they don't do for profit.
It's not what they stand for or the good they do for humanity. It's more, I hate when they park a table outside the grocery store and then shame you into trying to get donations from you. This isn't 1994. If I want to donate to you, I will go online, hit the donate now button, and put my information in. I don't need to be harassed when I'm just trying to get something at the grocery store. Twice this week, the breast cancer people were there. And I try to walk in and I did the usual thing I do, which is I refuse to make eye contact.
Smart.
No eye contact. And the guy like jumped in front of me and he's like, hey, did you hear we could check breast cancer with just one blood test now? I was like, I did not. He's like, do you want to make a donation? I'm like, I don't have cash on me. I never carry cash. He's like, it's okay. We have Square and we have Tap and we have, I'm like, ah, I'm gone.
And what is Square?
Square is like, basically it's a portable debit and credit machine.
Oh, okay.
And then the next day I had to go back and it was a new lady and I managed to get in the store just fine. But then on the way back, she caught me and she's like, hey, did you have a chance to see what we're talking about? She wasn't as aggressive as the other guy. And then I was like, oh yeah, I talked to the guy yesterday. And she's like, well, today's a new day and you know what they say, the second time doesn't hurt as much.
Is that what they say?
I'm like, did I just get sexually harassed? Like, what? What is happening?
She expected you to have donated yesterday and then also today?
Yeah, and then she used some
like a bit much
weird virginity analogy to to get me to donate this time.
Did it work?
It did not. I was confused and just left. But I did come home and tell my wife, did you know they can detect breast cancer with just a blood test now?
That's so weird. They didn't even tell you what you're donating for. It's like, hey, we can already do this thing. Want to donate?
Well, I assume if you're donating to the Breast Cancer Society, you're donating in hopes of eliminating breast cancer. I think it's implied. I don't think it's like you're donating to a kid's trip and you're like, where are you going? We're going to Greece. I don't think it's the same here.
Well, I feel very called out by that because I had to do that when I was in
You didn't hit me up for that.
No, because I know you don't donate.
I remember my high school grad class tried to raise money for grad.
All 8 of you?
Yeah, like for a grad trip and we were going to go to Mexico and blah, blah, blah. But none of the kids wanted to fundraise or donate their time. Only one girl did and we ended up with enough money to buy decorations for grad.
Just as good as going to Mexico.
Anyway, how was your week? Everything good? You're healthy?
Oh, it was
great.
Did
you go on more hikes?
No. One was more than enough. That's actually not true. I had a lot of fun. But I'm also not, the one dying to go for hikes. If somebody asked me to go for a hike, I might say yes. But I'm not going to put the idea out into the open, because then I'd have to follow through with it.
Mm-hmm. The ether holds you accountable.
The ether does. But no, I'm enjoying some extra time off work. So, you know.
I know, our mother's very disappointed. She was all day texting me, "Is Alan coming up for your father's birthday? Is he surprising him? I notice he took the day off. That means he probably has time to come and drive 9 hours to celebrate your father's birthday with him. It'd be really nice of him if he celebrated his birthday with him." I was like, "Eh, he's probably just sleeping in."
Yeah, and you were right. That's exactly what I did. I feel like she does that every year. His birthday's right next to a holiday, so I just like to make the weekend a little longer.
Mm-hmm.
Not all about traveling 9 hours to see people.
You're not a complicated man.
No.
We are recording this early, as we usually do, so today, technically, it's Canada Day. So happy Canada Day, Alan. Are you feeling patriotic?
Happy Canada Day. Oh, the most patriotic. I walked outside, because I took my dog for a walk, and that's where you have to walk them, I guess.
Yes.
And there were so many people, it was a nightmare.
Oh, was the parade going by your place?
No, they were just randomly in the streets.
Oh, that is weird.
Yeah, I don't know.
To our American listeners, it'll have been Independence Day, so God bless America, I guess, or whatever you guys say. America! America. That's how they greet each other. America! They're all wrestlers. Every American is a professional wrestler. Only on Independence Day, though. Oh, anyway, today is actually July 6th, Alan. So let's find out what happened this day in history. We start our tour, Alan, in the year 1536, when Jacques Cartier landed at St. Malo at the end of his second expedition to North America.
Interesting.
I only know Jacques Cartier because he was like a French guy who came over and explored a lot of Canada. I only know him from history class.
You don't know him personally?
I do not. I don't have a personal relationship with Jacques. I would call him Mr. Cartier if I met him.
Where? What is St. Malo? Malo?
It's, I don't know if that's... That's part of either Spain or France, wherever he landed back. That's back in Europe. But essentially, he started his fourth 14-month expedition in May 1535. He spent majority of his time in Stadacona, which was the capital of the Iroquois nation. And then he made trips to Hochelaga, which is modern-day Montreal. But he spent most of his time in Stadacona, which was basically the smaller settlement.
Hmm. Oh.
It's interesting, right? And the reason he stayed in Stadacona was that was at the bottom of some rapids, and his ships couldn't cross the rapids. But he was so convinced that on the other side of the rapids is where China was.
Oh, well, he is not good at geography at all.
He is not. That the town at the end of the rapids is to this day called Lachine, Quebec. And Lachine is China in French.
Hmm, that's funny.
When he returned to France in early May 1536, Cartier decided to kidnap the Iroquoian chief Donnacona and take him to France with him so that he could tell the tale of a country further north called this Kingdom of Saguenay, which is said to be full of gold, rubies, and other treasures. Now, in 1997, historian Daniel Francis reached the conclusion that Cartier believed in the fanciful Kingdom of Saguenay, rich in gold and diamonds, some of whose inhabitants knew how to fly. Other explorers held similar beliefs about the north in present-day Canada, including Martin Frobisher and Samuel Hearn. So it begs the question, Alan. We live pretty far north. Can we fly?
We have planes.
We do have planes, and they're very expensive.
They are.
So we can't fly. Now we jump forward 349 years to 1885, when Louis Pasteur successfully tests his vaccine against rabies.
Oh, it's convenient. I've had a surprising amount of friends lately who have potentially had run-ins with rabies.
You have some weird friends. They get bitten by a lot of dogs.
Yeah, some cats.
He tested on a young boy, Joseph Meester, who had been bitten by a rabid dog. Over 11 days, the boy received 13 inoculations.
That is too many needles.
And 3 months later, he was examined and found to be in perfect health. Hmm. By 1886, so a year later, Pasteur had treated 350 people and only one had developed rabies. So it was very successful.
Yeah, sounds like it.
To end his story on a down note.
Of course, as we always do.
Joseph Meister actually came to a very sad ending. When the Germans invaded, he was actually working at Louis Pasteur's clinic. And he sent his family away to avoid being captured by the Nazis. And he wanted to protect the clinic. And he somehow became under the understanding that by sending his family away, he actually got them killed by the Nazis. So he shot himself in the face. And then his family came back a day later and found him dead.
Oh, that was very grim.
I know, right?
Why does nothing happy happen in history?
Olden times sucked. We've gone over this.
Olden times did suck.
Now we move forward 2 years to 1887 when David Kalakaua, monarch of the Kingdom of Hawaii, is forced to sign the Bayonet Constitution.
I feel like Hawaii would be much cooler if it was still its own kingdom.
Well, this may surprise you. A bunch of white people got together and decided to transfer much of the king's authority to the legislature of Hawaii and not the king anymore. And it's called the Bayonet Constitution because it is believed to have been signed by threat of death.
Oh, hmm. Super legal.
Mm-hmm. And among the many changes it made, it implemented voting rights, which you think would be a good thing, because in a kingdom you don't have voting rights, except the voting rights were only for those who were male and of Hawaiian, American, or European descent, so there were a lot of Asian immigrants who had no say, and you didn't even need to be a resident to vote. You could just, like, be living there. You didn't need to actually be a resident of Hawaii, and as long as you were basically white or native Hawaiian, you got to vote and decide what happens.
Hmm.
Here's a happy thing, Alan. Jumping forward 70 years to 1957. On July 6th, today, Paul McCartney and John Lennon met for the very first time.
Oh, those are those guys from that band.
The Beatle Boys.
Yeah, the Beatle Boys.
They met at St. Peter's Church in Woolton. And after meeting backstage at a village celebration, Paul impressed John so much with his musical abilities that John invited him to join his band, The Quarrymen.
Ooh, The Quarrymen.
Beatle Boys is better.
Beatle Boys is much better.
The alliteration just rolls off the tongue. But Paul debuted as a member of the band 3 months later on October 18th. So I don't know what took so long, but Paul was playing hard to get.
He just had to practice up. He was used to solo performances.
And finally, Alan, today is International Kissing Day.
Nice. Another day I will have to miss out on.
The practice originated in the United Kingdom and was adopted worldwide in the early 2000s. Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, is this like a sexual day? No, it's the exact opposite. The concept behind the International...
It's an asexual day?
An asexual day. It's not about sex, it's about the enjoyment of kissing and kissing only. The concept behind the International Kissing Day is that many people may have forgotten the simple pleasure associated with kissing for kissing's sake, as opposed to kissing as a mere social formality or prelude to other activities. Because people are like, oh, let's get this kissing over with so we can bone. No, enjoy the kissing. Enjoy, this isn't an amuse-bouche, this is your whole main course, baby!
I don't have anything to say to that.
It was funny, this week my wife and I did not... We had, let's say, a kind of... One of those days when you're a couple where you're just kind of off and you're kind of nattering at each other.
Sure, yeah,
and then
definitely relate.
We went to bed and we live in the high north, so it's still, like, light at, like, midnight. And I couldn't fall asleep, so I rolled over and she was still awake and I'm like... Do you want to just make out till it gets dark? And she's like, no, no, I do not want to make out till it gets dark. I am still upset with you. And so then instead of enjoying kissing for kissing's sake, we had to have a talk about our feelings.
Now, equally as good.
I feel like I made a mistake in judgment there.
Just a little bit.
Thank you. Welcome inside the arena for everyone's favorite game show, Call In Countdown, where we have four rounds of multiple choice questions, with the trick being each round there are less and less possible answers. So by the end, you get rewarded for your guessing ability and not your knowledge. Alan, your record stands at 3 wins and 3 losses, and this was your month to choose your guest. Who is challenging you today?
My challenger is one of my friends and the...
Careful now.
He's a cheesemonger, right?
Uh-huh. He's a cheese scientist.
Is that the actual term?
It is not. Technically, I'm just a lab technician. But
who
I do
makes
work at
cheese.
A cheese processing plant, so.
Oh.
Yes.
He's a lab
tech. So he's a cheese scientist.
He's a cheese... No,
less
he's
of a
che-
maker and more of a
he's
quality
a cheese
control
tech.
Specialist.
He eats cheese and makes sure it's scientifically accurate.
Yes.
Sure. Yeah.
Yes. This is Mike.
Hello, Mike. Thank you for joining us.
Hello to you as well. Happy to be on your show.
Do you have any idea how this works?
Well, I heard the rules up front, so I have a good understanding. How many options are going to be on the first question?
You will see. Would you like to go first or second?
Okay. I think second.
Okay, gentlemen. Your first category is child actors.
Damn it.
Alan, this set of twins yes. starred on the sitcom Full House. Is it A, Hunter and Scarlett Johansson, B, Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen, C, Nikki and Brie Bella, D, Dylan and Cole Sprouse, or E, Tia and Tamara Mowry?
Well, the only twins that I actually know are the Sprouses and the Olsens, and I don't think it was the Sprouses, so I'm going to go with the Olsen twins.
Ding, ding, ding! You are correct! You're off to a good start, Alan.
Usually I get this one wrong.
Mike, it's your yes. turn. You are now behind the eight ball.
All
this
right.
child star of NBC's Silver Spoons went on to also star in Fox's sitcom Arrested Development. Is it A, Henry Winkler, B, Michael Cera, C, Will Arnett, D, David Cross, or E, Jason Bateman?
I've never seen Silver Spoons, so this is kind of a stab in the dark. We're going to go with Jason Bateman.
Ding, ding, ding! You are also correct! I was going to say the star of Ozark, but I thought that'd be too easy. And it yeah. turns out Arrested Development
has... You
said
star,
like...
so it kind of narrowed it down for me a little bit.
I thought you may pick Michael Cera. That was the only one where I'm like, that could be the red. Don't worry, they get more
that's
difficult.
That's what I would have picked.
If he was in something, I probably would have seen it. And Silver Spoon sounds a little old-timey.
Where do you stand on Superbad? Alan hates it. I think it's one of the greatest comedic movies
It's one of the greatest
time.
Movies ever made.
Yes!
I was actually working at the movie theater at the time that movie was released, and they let me keep one of the cardboard printouts, and I had it hanging in my bedroom. So yeah, I'm a super fan of Superbad.
See, were you born like 89, 90? Is that what we're talking
I'm
about?
I'm a 90, yeah.
Yeah, okay, see, that's why, is that's our generation. Yeah. Is that's what we grew up in. Alan's is all, yours is different, Alan. You didn't get it.
Yeah.
School was more
no,
difficult when we were going to it.
Yeah. He's practically Gen Z.
Mm-hmm. So after one round, we are tied at one. Alan, the second category is weird food. Mike, yours is also weird food. I just forgot to say your name.
It's all good.
Alan, tripe is a popular dish all over the world. What is it? Is it A, pigeon meat, B, the stomach lining of various animals, C, the paw meat of a wild dog, or D, a salad made with the thorns of a rose?
Are you really thinking about this?
Pigeon meat? Was that an option?
Oh boy.
Wah, wah, wah. You are incorrect. The correct answer is B, the stomach lining of various animals.
Yeah, he's a steak and potatoes kind of guy.
I am.
Yeah.
Tripe refers to the cow stomach, but includes stomach of any ruminant, including cattle, sheep, deer, antelope, ox, giraffes, and their relatives. I did not know giraffes and sheep were related. Tripus, the related Spanish word, also refers to culinary dishes produced from any animal with a stomach. Does this animal have a stomach? Yep, it's tripus.
Very low barrier to entry.
In some cases, other names have been applied to the tripe from other animals to make them sound more appetizing. For example, tripe from pigs may be referred to as paunch, pig bag, or hog maw.
Mm.
Sounds like some sort of Pokemon.
I love a plate full of pig bag. Now, Mike, this is your chance. Hakari,
I'm gonna steal.
Is a famous Icelandic dish. What is it? A, fermented shark. B, Arctic char cooked in an underground oven. C, a type of caribou kebab. Or D, soup made from snowy owl.
It's gotta be A or B. Hakari. A was the shark. What was B again?
Arctic char cooked in a natural underground oven.
We're gonna go with B because I think they have a lot of natural heat in Iceland.
You are incorrect. Yes. The correct answer is A, fermented shark.
Oh. Why didn't I get the tripe question? At least I've had tripe.
Hakari is a national dish of Iceland consisting of a Greenland or another type of sleeper shark that has been cured with a particular fermentation process and hung to dry for 4 to 5 months. It has a strong ammonia-rich smell and an extremely fishy taste, making it an acquired taste. It sounds gross.
Doesn't sound very good at all.
I would prefer some pig bag.
Would you like some Hakari or some 7-Eleven sushi?
Equally fishy.
Equally fishy.
They're equally
likely to get you sick.
Halfway through, we have a tie game on our hands. 1-1. Category 3, gentlemen, is Guam. How familiar are you guys with the island nation of Guam?
Barely.
Yeah. I learned today it's an island nation.
Good.
Well, Alan, your question. While not actually a country, Guam is a territory of which larger country? Is it A, India, B, the United States of America, or C, France, or France?
I'm gonna go with... Oh man, I wish I knew where Guam was. Well, it was... It's gonna be, or depending on when you're listening to this, was Independence Day. So I'm gonna say America.
Ding, ding, ding! You are correct! The United States of America. It is the westernmost point of the USA. It's about 5,800 miles or 9,300 kilometers from mainland USA. People born on Guam are American citizens, but they actually have no voting power, which is stupid.
Just because it's a territory?
Yeah, just because it's a territory. We have three territories here in Canada.
Yeah. Everyone I'm pretty sure they all count.
They all count, yes. We lived in one of them, and I voted while we lived there, so...
Yeah, exactly. You counted.
For once in my life. The unofficial motto of Guam is, where America's day begins, because it's so far in the Atlantic Ocean that it's actually right near the international date line. And I meant Pacific Ocean. Scientists, don't correct me.
It's... it's one of the oceans.
It's not the Indian Ocean. I know that. Mike, are you ready?
Yes, I am ready.
Roads in Guam are paved with what? Is it A, coral, B, sand, or C, smooth ocean stones?
Paved with? I'm not sure how much coral they got laying around. Smooth ocean stones. Let's go with the coral.
Ding, ding, ding! You are correct! Its roads are primarily paved by a coral and oil mixture that, when it gets wet, tends to have oil float to the surface, making the roads exceptionally dangerous. That is one of the,
remind me not to drive around.
Steer into the skid, Mom.
That's actually... The speed limit on the island is 35 miles an hour for that reason. If you go any faster and it's rainy, you may die.
Now, knowing this, do they still build their roads out of coral?
No. Newly built roads are being constructed differently, but it is the reason that there are no highways or freeways on Guam.
That makes a lot of sense.
Because he can't physically go that fast. So we are in a dead heat here with one category left to go. Remember, you will have two options here. Your final category is dog sled racing.
Oh boy.
I feel like we have an expert in our midst.
Are you sure there's no cheese question? I was promised a cheese question.
I had already written the quiz. I always ask him, I had already written the quiz, and then he told me you did cheese stuff. I would have 100% had cheese one. And then he said, well, go back and rewrite the quiz. And I said, F that, no.
You'll have to invite me back and embarrass me another day.
Alan, your question. This famous race started in 1973 and is 938 miles or 1,510 kilometers long. Is it A, the Iditarod, or B, the American Dog Derby?
It's A, obviously.
Ding, ding, ding! You are correct! The Iditarod takes place annually and goes from Anchorage to Nome, Alaska. Teams often race through blizzards, causing whiteout conditions, sub-zero temperatures, gale-force winds, which make the wind chill reach minus 100 Fahrenheit or minus 73 Celsius.
That sounds like a terrifying thing to do.
I wouldn't want to. I thought about going dog sled racing this winter because they had it at like the local like horse track. They had a famous dog sled guy who in the winter you could pay him and he'd take you... like up to three people in his dog sled around. And I was like, that'd be cool. But it was like 250 bucks. And I'm like, it's not that cool.
It's probably best that you didn't do that. Remember when you asked to go in the...
chuck wagon. But see, that's my thing. I asked and got to do that for free. I would do it, but I'm not doing it to pay to do it. I'm doing it...
yeah, but you almost die.
But I did it. Mike, you need this to claim... well, not a tie, but force a sudden death overtime round, which has only ever happened once before.
Ooh, all right.
The 1917 Red River St. Paul Sports Carnival Derby inspired this 1994 Disney dog sled movie. Is it A, Iron Will, or B, Freedom Run?
Those sound like the same movie.
It's literally just a shot in the dark. Yeah. I just guess.
Here's a hint. It's one of my favorite movies. I own it both on VHS and DVD.
If they don't have Run in the title, is it even a dog movie? Let's go Freedom Run.
Wah, wah, wah. Oh, you are Disney. Incorrect. That means Alan... you are officially above 500. Four wins
for the first time since the first one we did.
No, because you lost last time. You were 3-2 heading into last time.
Was I?
Oh. Yeah, because you lost last time. I guess that makes you 3-3.
The math adds up.
Congratulations, Alan.
So the correct answer is A, Iron Will. In the film, a teenager is thrust into adulthood when desperate family circumstances compel him to enter a lucrative, yet dangerous, cross-country dog race, despite numerous odds against him, including harsh weather, hostile competitors, and uncooperative dogs. He strives to continue forward, getting help from unlikely sources along the way. He is shocked to learn that not only he, but the whole country, is inspired and hopeful to see his own Iron Will come to fruition at the finish line.
Wow.
Compelling, right?
Sounds like a great movie.
See, it's called Iron Will because he has to show the will of his spirit, but also his name is Will.
Oh, I see what they did there.
Was this a popular movie?
No, it got theaters? Very poor reviews when it came out. But I loved it. So, Mike, thank you for joining us on our... seventh installment of Call In Countdown. Unfortunately, you won't be welcome back for the Tournament of Champions, but I think you'll survive.
I will survive. Thanks for having me.
Alan, that just about does it. We're about to dock and end this week's journey. But before we do, we want to remind you, tell your friends, tell your family, tell everyone you know, let's grow this random ship crew. Alan, give the people what they want. What is this week's ship fact?
This week's ship fact is... There are 7 different methods of moving a ship through water. Oars, horses, sails, paddle streamers, propellers, obviously, azimuthing thrusters, and water jets.
Azimuthing thrusters.
Yeah, it's like a kind of propeller that pivots so that they can go, they can move the ship in any direction.
I want to see the horses.
So the horses are apparently general... It said generally in the article I was reading. Used for shallow inland waterways.
Yeah.
So it's like a carriage.
Are we talking like actual horses?
Yeah.
I thought it was seahorses. Like, that's a lot of seahorses.
Yeah, you would need a lot. They are not strong.
Or a very small boat.
Well, even, no matter, as long as the boat could hold even a baby, you would still need a lot of seahorses. Like, if it was Moses' reed basket, you would still need a lot of seahorses to move that. A lot. Well, on that note, thank you all so much for joining us.
And have a great week, everybody. I'm also not the one dying to go for hikes. If somebody asked me to go for a hike, I might say yes. But I'm not going to put the idea out into the open, because then I'd have to follow through with it.